chapter 52, through the South to the Conference of 1901. Our efforts in missionary lines must become far more extensive, wrote Mrs. White shortly before her return to America in 1900. A more decided work than has been done must be done prior to the second appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are not to cease their labors until they shall encircle the world. Let the gospel message ring through our churches, summoning them to universal action. Let the members of the church have increased faith, gaining zeal from their unseen heavenly allies, from a knowledge of their exhaustless resources, from the greatness of the enterprise in which they are engaged, and from the power of their leaders. Those who place themselves under God's control to be led and guided by Him will catch the steady trend of the events ordained by Him to take place. Inspired with the spirit of Him who gave His life for the life of the world, they will no longer stand still in impotency, pointing to what they cannot do. Putting on the armor of heaven, they will go forth to the warfare, willing to do and dare for God, knowing that His omnipotence will supply their needs. Centers of influence and of training. With the rapid development of missionary operations in many lands during the 90s, there had arisen perplexing administrative problems regarding the distribution of workers and the means. Some advocated one policy, some another. There were those who urged the immediate occupation of the strongholds of heathenism by large forces of workers, while others held to the policy of carrying on a vigorous campaign in unoccupied regions of the homeland, as, for example, the southern states of America, and in those countries where the efforts of the workers were rewarded with encouraging and substantial results. These advocated that difficult heathen lands be entered only as the providence of God might plainly open the way. For several years, Mrs. White had been writing concerning the advantages to be gained by establishing centers of influence of training in England and in some of the continental countries of Europe and in such fields as Australasia, where the prospects were good for raising up and educating many workers to enter the less favored regions beyond. She had also been counseling the brethren to carry forward an aggressive campaign in the southern states, and had often pleaded that this portion of the field be dealt with liberally. It is the very essence of all right faith, she wrote, to do the right thing at the right time. God is a great master worker, and by His providence He prepares the way for His work to be accomplished. He provides opportunities, opens up lines of influence and channels of working. If His people are watching the indications of His providence and stand ready to cooperate with Him, they will see a great work accomplished. Their efforts rightly directed will produce a hundredfold greater results than can be accomplished with the same means and facilities in another channel where God is not so manifestly working. Certain countries have advantages that mark them as centers of education and influence. In the English-speaking nations and the Protestant nations of Europe, it is comparatively easy to find access to the people, and there are many advantages for establishing institutions and carrying forward our work. In some other lands, such as India and China, the workers must go through a long course of education before the people can understand them or they the people, and at every step there are great difficulties to be encountered in the work. In America, Australia, England, and some other European countries, many of these impediments do not exist. Special opportunities in the South. During her journey to the General Conference of 1901, Mrs. White took occasion to pass through the southern states and to speak words of courage and counsel to those who were laboring there. At Vicksburg, Mississippi, she came in direct contact with the work carried forward from that center in behalf of the colored people. At Nashville, she met with a larger group of workers, diligently studying the necessities of the cause in the southern states and inaugurating many lines of work. The Gospel Herald, formerly printed in Battle Creek, had been moved to Nashville, and the advantages in publishing tracts and books for the South land at Nashville were being considered. Regarding these things, Mrs. White testified, "Many lines of business will open up as the work is carried forward. There is much work to be done in the South, and in order to do this work, the laborers must have suitable literature, books telling the truth in simple language, and abundantly illustrated. This kind of literature will be most effective means of keeping the truth before the people. A sermon may be preached and soon forgotten, but a book remains. In communications written a few months later on the necessity of planning wisely for the conduct of the publishing work in the South, it was plainly pointed out that the brethren in responsibility in that field would find rich blessing in preparing and publishing a line of literature specially adapted to the peculiar needs of the various classes living within their borders. In May 1901, the Southern Publishing Association was organized, and plans were laid for the strengthening of the call porter work throughout the Southern Union Conference. But the issuance and circulation of specially prepared literature would not alone meet the demands of the field. "We need schools in the South," declared Mrs. White. "They must be established away from the city in the country. There must be industrial and educational schools where the colored people can teach colored people, and schools where the white people can teach the white people. Missions must be established. The medical missionary work also was to be undertaken, and many small centers for the carrying forward of this line of endeavor were to be established in strategic points. Institutional training in many lands, not only in the South, were institutions called for the education of workers. Centers of training were to be established in many lands, in England, Australia, Germany, and Scandinavia, and other continental countries as the work advances. In these countries, Mrs. White pointed out, the Lord is able workmen, laborers of experience. These can lead out in the establishment of institutions, the training of workers, and the carrying forward of the work in its different lines. God designs that they shall be furnished with means and facilities. The institutions established would give character to the work in these countries and would give opportunity for the training of workers for the darker heathen nations. In this way, the efficiency of our experienced workers would be multiplied 100-fold. While broad foundations were to be laid in lands whence many workers might quickly be prepared to go forth to the ends of the earth, the less favored regions were not to be neglected. In this connection, Mrs. White wrote, "The cry comes from far-off countries, come over and help us. These are not so easily reached and not so ready for the harvest as are the fields more nearly within our sight, but they must not be neglected." It was her great desire to see the message of present truth proclaimed in every land that led Mrs. White during the 1901 General Conference to outline very clearly God's purpose in building up the work along broad lines in the favored regions of the earth. It was her desire to see the message proclaimed in heathen lands that led her to urge the establishment of institutional training centers in Great Britain and on the continent of Europe, as well as in Australia and in the southern states of America. She pointed out the folly of restricting the work in such places. "Let us not forget the English-speaking countries," she pleaded, "where if the truth were presented, many would receive and practice it. London has been presented to me again and again as a place in which a great work is to be done. Why have not workers been sent there, men and women who could have planned for the advancement of the work? Self-supporting missionaries, I have wondered why our people, those who are not ordained ministers, but who have a connection with God, who understand the Scriptures, do not open the Word to others. If they would engage in this work, great blessing would come to their own souls. Let no one suppose that the work in London can be carried on forward by one or two. This is not the right plan. While there must be those who can oversee the work, there must be an army of workers striving to reach the different classes of people. God calls upon His people to awake. There is much work to do, and no one is to say, 'We do not want this one. He will stand in our way. He will hinder us.' Cannot God take care of that? Are there not those in this congregation who will settle in London to work for the Master? Are there not those who will go to that great city as self-supporting missionaries? But while missionaries are to do all they can to be self-supporting, let those who remain here, who Sabbath after Sabbath come to the tabernacle to hear the Word of God, who have every convenience and advantage, let them beware how they say to those they send to foreign fields, destitute of every facility and advantage, 'You must be self-supporting.' The European field must receive the attention it should have, and we are not to forget the needy fields close at hand. Look at New York. What representation for the truth is there in that city? How much help has been sent there? Our educational and health work must be established there, and this work must be given financial aid. God wants the work to go forward in New York. There ought to be thousands of Sabbath keepers in that place, and there would be if the work were carried on as it should be. But prejudices spring up. Men want the work to go in their line, and they refuse to accept broader plans from others. Thus, opportunities are lost. In New York, there should be several small companies established, and workers should be sent out. It does not follow that because a man is not ordained as a preacher, he cannot work for God. Let such ones as these be taught how to work. Let them go out to labor. On returning, let them tell what they have done. Let them praise the Lord for his blessing, and then go out again. Encourage them. A few words of encouragement will be an inspiration to them.
Reorganization. In order that the cause of God might prosper, it was imperative that the administration affairs be such as to permit the widest possible development in all lines of service. God desires his work to be a rising, broadening, enlarging power, Mrs. White declared during a council meeting held the day preceding the formal opening of the conference session. But the management of the work is becoming confused in itself. God calls for a change. On the opening day of the conference, Mrs. White spoke further regarding these matters. Greater strength must be brought into the managing force of the conference. God has not put any kingly power in our ranks to control this or that branch of the work. The work has been greatly restricted by the efforts to control it in every line. Here is a vineyard presenting its barren places that have received no labor. And if one should start out to till these places in the name of the Lord, unless he should get the permission of the men in a little circle of authority, he would receive no help. But God means that his workers shall have help. If 100 should start out on a mission to these destitute fields, crying unto God, he would open the way before them. If the work had not been so restricted, it would have gone forward in its majesty. It would have gone in weakness at first. But the God of heaven lives, the great overseer lives. There must be a renovation, a reorganization. A power and strength must be brought into the committees that are necessary. A few days later, when it was proposed to organize the Southern field into a strong union conference, Mrs. White, in another talk before the delegates, said, "The arrangements which are being made for that field are in accordance with the light which has been given me. God desires the Southern field to have a conference of its own. The work there must be done on different lines from the work in any other field. The laborers there will have to work on peculiar lines. Nevertheless, the work will be done. The Lord God of Israel will link us all together. The organizing of new conferences is not to separate us. It is to bind us together. The conferences that are formed are to cling mightily to the Lord so that through them he can reveal his power, making them excellent representations of fruit-bearing." In later years, as these plans were carried out more or less fully by Brethren in Responsibility, Mrs. White on many occasions rejoiced in the success that was crowning the efforts of an army of workers whose preparation for service had been gained in strong training centers in North America, Europe, and Australasia. And great was Mrs. White's rejoicing when the reports from our missionaries in China indicated that the Lord was going before our workers in that land in a special manner and preparing the hearts of the heathen for the reception of present truth. As God opened the way in fields that in former years had been difficult to enter, she urged the brethren in responsibility to do all in their power to cooperate with the heavenly agencies manifestly at work in the dark places of earth. At the same time, she continued to encourage those having to do with institutional work to hold before the youth in training the high ideals for which our denominational institutions have ever stood, and to redouble their efforts to train many workers to enter the fields whitening under the harvest. Thus the homeland, whether in America, in Europe, in Australasia, or in other favored lands, was to link closely with the regions beyond. And all the agencies established for the advancement of the cause were to cooperate for the accomplishment of one purpose, the preparing of a people for the coming of their Lord.